Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to be with you, even if only virtually today, and to have the opportunity to open the Word of God before you. And may He indeed be praised as we consider His Word together. And so let's ask God's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we call upon You once again, acknowledging that You are the Lord our God, and our hope is only in You through Jesus Christ. And we thank You for Your Word. We have just sung about Your Word and the life You give to us in Your Word. May You be exalted, O God, in our midst. And so teach us from Your Word that we might delight in You and honor You in all that we do and say and think. So guard us, guard our minds as we consider Your Word here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you have seen a video, whether on the news or YouTube or some other format, where there is a soldier who is coming home from the field, and it's a bit of a surprise to at least some of his family that he would be arriving that particular day. Perhaps there's a son that he has in school. And so he has made arrangements with the school to surprise his son at some sort of a convocation that they would have. The principal or whoever's in charge of that convocation talks about the military and how they want to honor the military, and they're glad to have a special guest with them. And in he walks, and his son sees him for the first time in many months. What happens next? If you've seen those videos, what happens next is that that child makes a beeline to his dad, jumps into his arms. He just doesn't care what his classmates might be thinking. For some reason, he doesn't care whether it's cool or not to do this, because there's his daddy. There he is, and he can just hardly wait to be with him and to enjoy his embrace and his fellowship. We're feeling a little bit like that now with this pandemic, as we have been we've been on house arrest, where we have been confined to our homes. We have not been able to get together. In fact, there was a time a couple of weeks into this time that I needed to pick something up over at our parsonage here in Elkins Park. And the pastor's wife brought it out to me, and she said, "Oh, it's so good to see you in person." I would imagine that for many of you, you can look across the screen and see these faces and say, "I can hardly wait to see these people in person." What a wonderful thing it will be, because of the fellowship that we have when we are with one another. The matter of fellowship is something that is important to us. And the kind of fellowship that is most important to us is our fellowship with God. There's a book that was written by John Owen. If you have a set of his works, it would be volume 2 in the works of John Owen. And for those of you who have read John Owen, know that it's a very difficult read. It's not easy to read John Owen. But thankfully, there are some who have made abridgments of some of his works. Many of you have no doubt heard about the Puritan paperbacks. And there is one entitled Communion with God. And it's one that I would commend to you. Ian Hamilton, one of the trustees of the Banner of Truth, says that it is the third book he wants a new Christian to read. And of course, that begs the question, well, what are the first two? Well, you obviously know what the first one is, the Bible itself. And if you think about it a little bit, you might figure out that if he's wanting him to read John Owen that quickly, that he probably wants him to read John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. And so he gets the primary document. You get the theology, and now communion with God. And in this book, he talks about communion with each of the members of the Godhead, communion with the Father, and then there's communion with the Son, and then there's communion with the Holy Spirit. Today, what we want to look at is communion with the Father. And so to do this, we're going to look at 1 John. We're going to be reading a number of portions of this book. It's a book that was written, as you might recognize, with this purpose. It's given in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, as I look at that purpose, you see, it seems to me that it is greatly fulfilled by our communion with the Father as he gives us life. Well, let's read a few passages from the book of 1 John. We'll begin with the opening of 1 John. Now, notice the first verse of his letter, because it's talking about fellowship with Christ in particular there. But notice how it involves being with him, seeing, hearing, touching. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Notice there the fellowship with the Father and with the Son in particular. Now, he's not neglecting the Holy Spirit, but he wants to point out these two items in particular. Now, let's turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's just jump down to one more verse in this chapter, and that's verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And there you have some of the responsibility that there is in this fellowship. And now to chapter 4. I want us to turn over just to verse 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We'll end our reading at that point and ask that God would bless the reading of his word to us, and that he would indeed be our instructor. God has called each one of us into fellowship with himself, into communion with himself. And it's something that we need to be be involved in and not allow it to lapse. As we have taken our vows in becoming members of the church, we have said there are certain things that we would do in order that we might grow in the Christian life. And among those things, there's the reading of his word and the diligent reading of his word, and also to be engaged in prayer. And these in particular are involved in fellowship with him, but there are many other things as well. God has called us into communion with himself, and particularly the Father, as we saw there in the first chapter of 1 John, where John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people don't think of that as being such a wonderful thing, because they view God as being one who is very stern and angry. But that's not really the view that we get of him in the scripture, if we get the whole scripture before us. Yes, he is angry with sin. One of the early prayers I prayed when this pandemic hit, I said, Lord, you have been angry with us. And he has shown his anger because we have not followed him. We have not done what he commanded us to do. And so Amos talks, gives the word of God as God says, here are the things that I did. And he talks about the various ways that he chastised Israel. And then he said, yet you have not turned to me. And then he would give another one. And then he would say, yet you have not returned to me. And this went on time after time. He has about half a dozen or so items in there, how he withheld the rain and he took away their food and various other things, yet they had not returned to him. Is that not the way that we're to look at this pandemic? God could say to us, I brought to you this virus, yet you have not returned to me? And so it is that we as a nation and as the world need to be turning to him, acknowledging him to be the Lord our God. Our focus then here is on communion with the Father. John says that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When Paul gives the benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he mentions, first of all, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he concludes with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But the thing he mentions about the Father is his love, the love of the Father. And that's why so much of what we have read here and of what we have been singing has to do with the love of the Father. Because, as John Owen points out, that is the main way that he communes with us, by showing us his love. And so let's think about that for the time being, that the Father's main communion with us is in his love. And we need to regard him that way, rather than just the one who is filled with wrath. Yes, he does pour out his wrath on us, and that ought to lead us to fear him and to honor him. But and many are going to know him only in his wrath as he punishes them and chastises them for their sin. But even that is something that would be done in order to draw us back to him. You can know him then by his love. And you have his love by faith in Jesus Christ. The illustration which John Owen uses to communicate this matter of Jesus Christ being the one through whom the love of the Father is given to us is he uses the Son. And how do we get the warmth and all the blessing of the Son? Well, through the Son's rays that come down to us. And so he thinks of He sees Jesus Christ as being those rays by which the love of the Father comes to us. And so we come to know the love of the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's in Christ that you know him as the one who communicates love then to you. It's not a mushy love, certainly. It's not what the world so often thinks of as love. But it's what is good for us, and it's what he has done from the very beginning. Love is particularly attributed to God, as we've already seen in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's that love that is attributed to the Father. But it's also his identity. And we see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That is his character. That is who he is. And so this love is not only something that is attributed to him, but it is something that is throughout his character. And that his love, that he is love towards us is something that Jesus said to his disciples is something that should be obvious. And this is going back to John's gospel account in John 16. John 16, beginning with verse 26, he talks about sending the Spirit to them. That he, as he goes away, he will send them the Spirit. But he says it this way. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Now, try to get the point here that he's making. He says, I don't have to pray to the Father to ask him to love you because that's something that is so obvious. He does pray for other things. He does pray for the Father to send the Spirit to us. Back in Luke's account of that night that Jesus was betrayed, he says to Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you that Satan, because Satan wanted to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. It was necessary, he thought, to pray for them. And then in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, I have prayed that those who would believe in me through your testimony would be one, even as the Father and I are one. Those are things that he considered necessary to pray. But he said, I don't have to pray for the Father to love you because he loves you. It's a given. It's something you need to recognize from the get-go, that this is something that is so obvious that you should know it. I don't have to pray for it. Consider what it means then for us to be loved by God and the ways that he loves us. Well, he determined to send to show us his love. When did he first love us? I think you know the answer. Before he created the world. He loved you before he made the world. Think about that. That is, it's a love that is eternal. And remember, he does not change. His love does not change. He determined to love you by sending Jesus Christ into the world to be our Redeemer. One of the best known verses of the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know that love? Do you recognize that love? So that you would believe in him, would trust in him, and acknowledge him to be the sovereign Lord, your Savior. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, again, the love of the Father is set before us. Ephesians chapter 1. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. If you ever wonder, does God love me? That doubt should all be removed here. I remember a time that our son and daughter-in-law told us about the first time they went out together. And after that date, our son was thinking, is she really interested in me? I'm afraid she doesn't care about me. I'm afraid she won't want to go out again. And it really bothered him. Guess what she was thinking? Oh, I wonder if he really does care for me. Will he want to go out with me again? And there was that wonder, if only they had been able to talk with each other. And of course they did later on, to be able to say, yes, I love you, so that now they are married. Are you ever wondering, does God love me? Does he really care for me? That's a doubt that should be washed away when you remember when he began to love you. He began to love you before Genesis 1, before he made the world and everything in it. And God does not change. And he declares to you that if you trust in Jesus Christ, if you know him as the one who took upon himself your sin and nailed it to the cross, there's that magnificent love that he showed to you, then you can be assured of his love. You know it's there. You know that it's real. It's not something that will pass away. And so he determined to love you. It was a step that he took with great determination. It wasn't just something that happened along the way. But he said, this is the way that it's going to be. I will love them. And I will love them to the end. But it's not just that he determined to love us before the world was made. There's also the friendship that he desires with us. A friendship that he has with us day by day, and he wants us to enjoy that friendship as well. Again, going back to John's gospel account in the 14th chapter, as he speaks to his disciples, remember, this is the time he's meeting with them just after having washed their feet, humbling himself so much. And in John 14, verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. You see, it's a continuing thing. It's not merely something that he determined to do in eternity past, but something that he continues to do in the present and will continue to do forever. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. You're secluded in your homes. Jesus says, the Father and I are secluded there with you. We make our home with you. What a marvelous love that is. The main way that the Father communes with us is in the display of his love towards us. But communion is a two-way street. We are to respond to that communion. And our communion with him then is in response to that love, just as Jesus, John tells us that God is love and that is his character. So we too are to respond to his love. Again, 1 John 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So as he has loved us, there is a response that we are to have in loving him. Now, obviously, our love isn't exactly the same as his. His is eternal. His never ebbs and flows, but is continuous. It is always there. Our love often ebbs and flows. So, first of all, we need to receive his love. Many times Christians wonder whether indeed God has loved them. They read the scriptures, but somehow it doesn't sink in that, yes, he loved me before he made the world. But we receive that love of God through Christ by faith, by our trusting in him. And remember, this letter is written so that those who are trusting in Jesus Christ might know that they have eternal life, which is the fulfillment, of course, of the love of the Father. Are you thinking of God as one who loves you? Or does the thoughts of God go in a different direction? Do you recognize that he is there loving you and caring for you and providing for you? Well, you're to act on the love that he has shown to you, and he tells you how you're to do that. You're to do that in response to his command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then, of course, there is that second, which is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the greatest commandment that is given to you, which is in response to the love that the Father has shown to you. You are to receive his love, to know that it is real, to know that he has not forsaken you, but that he continues to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you always. As you think about his love, then think about the greatness of it. Once again, the very fact that he loved you before he made the world. It's an eternal love and a love that does not change. And it's a love in which he gave his most precious possession, his own son, in order that you might have life. That and those things in themselves show you just how great his love is. And it's something that should compel you to draw near to him in love. And then, of course, we are to show gratitude for his love. We show gratitude for his love by loving him. And this, of course, includes obeying him, coming to understand that he is the one who has provided for us in his grace. In John 14, once again, verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll be obeying me. You'll be doing my will." And that's the way you show gratitude, not just in saying thank you. Yes, that's good. But there also needs to be that evidence that there is love, your love for him, by your obedience to him, doing his will, worshiping him, living for his glory. Do you remember your purpose in life? Do you understand it from that first catechism question and answer? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What a blessing, what a pleasure it is to live for the glory of God. But so often we live for ourselves. Now, later in the service, we're going to be singing Psalm 52, in which there is the mighty man that is mentioned. In fact, it's the beginning of a series of psalms that deal with different kinds of men who oppose the Lord. Well, here's the mighty man who thinks that he is able in and of himself to do whatever it is that he needs. And he will, by hook or crook, get what he needs. He will accomplish his own purposes for his own advancement. But then towards the end of the psalm, the psalmist says, "How foolish you are. Don't you know that the love of the Lord remains forever?" It's always there. You don't have to gain by hook or by crook, but rather by the love of the Lord, by resting in his loving kindnesses, being satisfied with him. And so it is that we live for his glory. And our communion with him is in response to the love that he has shown to us as he communes with us. You see, you will enjoy God when you live in communion with him. John's purpose, once again, for this letter is for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ to know that they have eternal life. Okay. That's great, but recognize that we know that we have eternal life because God has loved us. That's the way we come to enjoy this eternal life, through the love that the Father has shown to us. And so John's purpose for this letter is for you to know that God's love is true. And that's why he begins by talking about the fellowship, the communion that we have with the Father and the Son. And then he talks about love so much in this letter to bring us to know him. The love of the Father is something that is incalculable. It's greater than we can even imagine, just as his power is greater than we can imagine. As Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says, he's able to do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think. And we could add to that, he's willing to do those things because of his love by which he communes with us. Let's come to him in prayer. Father in heaven, once again, we call upon you, acknowledging you to be the Lord our God, in whom we have everlasting life. We thank you for the love that the Father has shown to us. You, our Father, have shown to us in your grace. And so we pray that you would be glorified and exalted so that the world might know you as we learn to commune with you, our Heavenly Father, so may they see the blessing of communion and come also to glorify your name with us. So remind us of your love. Don't let it slip from our minds at all, but rather cause us to walk in your love day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.